the Oakdale Christian Centre podcast. Recorded on Maundy Thursday, in this episode, Dave talks about the will of God. The main reading is Ephesians chapter 1.
Since the beginning of the year, we've been looking at who we are, and once we understand who we are in the Lord, it just changes how we see things, how we behave. We looked at Jesus, and he told us we had to follow him. He's our master, our Lord, and all those things. And last week with the Bible, we talked about remembering who we are. Remember that God called us. Isn't that amazing? We sometimes say, well, I made a decision. Well, yes, you only made a decision when the Lord called you. When the Lord called you, then he made it. So we said, consider your calling. Be diligent about your calling. And we're called to certain things, as the Bible says. We'll look at some of those again tonight. We're called to be like him. Sanctification is the old word we used to use. Less of me, less of sin, less of the world, more of Jesus. We're called to serve him, as Jesus was our example. Remember, and tonight, as we just break bread in a moment, we'll see that Jesus on that night said, right, I'm going to wash your feet. Now, I'm not going to wash your feet, but let me just say, your feet are probably in better shape than their feet were, and smell better and less dirty than their feet, because we know there's no tarmac in those days, isn't there? And they didn't have nice socks and shoes on. It was sandals open. Yet Jesus bent down, because he said, I've come to serve and not to be served. He said, this is my example. Now, he said, this is my example, to wash people's feet. Sometimes, maybe, but to be servants. And that's what we're called to be and called to do, ultimately to glorify his name. But again, Jesus is our example. And this particular subject, I suppose, we would say the will of God. Now, that's big and massive. Of course, there's the will of God, that God is sovereign over all, isn't he? Hallelujah. He's running his story. He will map it out. Now, he's given us some hints of what's going to happen, but how it's going to, you know, in our mind, only he will shape it and ship it out. And sometimes he doesn't give us any instances or tells us what's happening. And it's amazing when you think about the will of God, that how God can interweave sinfulness and evil that he permits us to do, doesn't he? Because we have a free will to bring out his purpose and will. Amazing, really. Remember Jesus, he used people to crucify him, didn't he? There was no reason. Even Pilate said, I can find no reason to kill him. But God used the wickedness of man to crucify. Joseph, God didn't, you know, the thing Joseph went through. But God used those, his brother's selfishness and greed and jealousy, to fulfill the purposes of God. And I always find that amazing. There's a verse that in the AV, it's always amazed me, and again, fully understand it, not probably not. Even he gets the wrath of man to praise him. That's amazing. The wrath of man. You say, how can God do that? Because he's sovereign. His will and purposes will work out. But of course, when we talk about the will, what God wants for me and you. Now, there's specific things God wants for me and you, isn't it? Like jobs and marriage and all that kind of. But the general will of God, we know, and we'll look at some of that tonight. What he wants for us all to be. He wants us all to be like him. Hallelujah. And behave like him. And there's behaviours that go right across the board, isn't it? None of us are exempt from. So we'll look at that. But of course, Jesus ultimately is our example. Let's see again his words, what he wants to say. John 4. 27 to 34.
Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want, or why are you talking with her? Then leaving her water jug, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work.
There's Jesus, isn't it? What was it really motivating? What was more than anything else? And that's a great picture, because when it comes to food, some of us can't do without food, can we? Sometimes we live for food, sometimes, don't we? I do like food. Mm-hmm. But he said, my food is to do the will of God. Mm-hmm. And that's why he went out of his way to meet that woman. Most people had dismissed her, they'd rejected her because of her behaviour and her background. But Jesus takes her, changes her, and wins the city, wins the town. Because she goes back and she said, look at this chap I found, the Messiah. And the Bible says they all came. And then they said, not just because of what you said, because we've heard it ourselves. But where we see there, the food, his food, his desire was to step and walk in the will of God. This is Jesus. Of course, that's what his heart and how he taught. Let's read it. We know these verses. We said yesterday, Matthew 6, 9 to 13.
Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And not let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one.
Yeah. Teach us to pray. What are we to pray? Lord, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. Lord, your will in every area of our lives. The general will, you know, we know about the revealed will, if you like, and specific things that only we can particularly do, God given us to do, but general. But let your will be done. Your kingdom, your rule, your reign, your realm, of course. And then we have this lovely verse that David wrote, about himself. But of course, when David was writing, he was writing prophetically, wasn't he? In the Old Testament, this is Psalm 40, 5-8.
Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than have been numbered. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. By ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart.
Again, wonderful words by David. Of course, I just quote that then. Many of the wonders you've done, the things you've planned for us, no one can recount. Were I to speak of them, there would be too many to declare. Paul picking that up, he said, no eye has seen, no ears what God has prepared in advance for us to do. The earth is pretty good, although fallen. What is heaven going to be like? Without all the sin and selfishness and tears and illness and the flesh, which gets, you know, when we say, think we say, well, we'd be boring. Boring's from the flesh, isn't it? Jolly flesh that gets bored, not the spirit. That'd be wonderful. But this is taken up. David said, I desire to do your will. I delight to do your will. Interesting there. Don't forget the next line. Remember, never forget that. Because his law is within my heart. Mm-hmm. Remember the Psalmist 119, hide your word in my heart so I will not sin against you. Mm-hmm. The delight is because we got the word in there, his delight. And of course the Bible picks that up. It wasn't just about David, it was prophetic, because it picks up in Hebrews 10, if you want to drop that down, if you want to look at that after, for some of you. Hebrews 10, he picks it up, it was specifically and prophetically about Jesus. He said, Jesus came and said, Lord, I want to do the will of Father. Bless the Lord, he did. And of course, ultimately, we come to that place where he lived the will of God. Remember he said, we've quoted it a number of times this last few weeks, everything I've done, everything I said is because what Father's told me to do. I only say what he's told me to say, only done what he's told me to do, and I think, Lord, what a challenge. Because remember, he's living through his humanity by the power of the Spirit, and he says, follow me. So the question comes, and we've got to question this, and again, that's why we come to the Lord, we break bread. Lord, am I doing everything I say, everything I do, is it what you want me to do? Great questions. But of course, if he'd fallen at the last hurdle, if you like, we'd been in trouble. But here he is on that well, let's say call it Thursday night, could be different, but we'll just call it Thursday. And here he is in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26, 36, 45.
Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me for 1 hour?
Yeah.
Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went again away to pray the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them there, and went away again, and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he cometh to his disciples, and saith unto them, sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, where the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners.
There he is. We don't. The writers are trying to explain to us the weight, the agony of the situation again, because we read it, we've read it many times. We think, oh, Jesus is there. Yeah, no. The Bible is very clear. The word agonize, the grief. He tells us that he sweat drops of blood. Of course, we know that's a real thing. I did know the term for it. I forgot. They've seen it in modern days, even in the First World War, when they were just about to go over the top, and they knew as soon as they were going to go over, you know, that was absolutely nuts, wasn't it? But they would be fretting so much, they would be sweating drops of blood, and this was where Jesus was. We don't understand the weight of it, but yet, what did he say? Not my will, but your will. The working out of the will of God in our lives can be done the easy way or the hard way, of course. And even when we go the way where we say, Lord, have your way, it's sometimes difficult. He works things into our life, as we'll read in a minute, sufferings and difficulties, to work his purposes out. And heaven will only understand that, isn't it? Well, people would say, well, why did that happen? Sometimes we don't know this side of heaven why things happen. But can I say, God knows best. God always knows best, and it's for a great purpose. And sometimes it's to win others for the Lord. I've told you that story before about that family who lost a little baby, and probably nothing worse than losing a child, I'm sure. You know, you can do one or two things, can't you? You can get bitter, of course you can, and say, Lord, why? Or you can say, Lord, I don't understand, but here we are. Lord, use this for your great purposes. And she then, from that time on, the lady would go through the obituaries. I'm beginning to do that now myself. I don't know if I'm getting older. And she would see if there was a little child that would be lost. And she would contact the family and say, you know, I understand. I understand exactly what you're going through. Let me just share how I navigate it. And she just shared the grace of God, the love of God. See, that's amazing, isn't it? We say, why? Well, you see, God is interested in saving souls. Paul and Silas, why on earth they were in the jail? I would have been complaining. Lord, we should be out there preaching. We should be out there sharing the gospel. But they're in there, and they didn't just get... They were beaten, weren't they? They were actually beaten the pub when they were in there. And they were shackled and in a awful place. But what were they doing? Praising and singing and worshipping. Great. But out of that, see, those prisoners would have never heard the gospel. The jailer would probably never heard the gospel, but because they were there, God used the purposes of God to bring it. And that's ultimately we that gives us great perspective sometimes when we say, Lord, why am I in this situation? Always the first thing we must do is, Lord, did I get myself here? That's always the first. Lord, have I done something stupid? Have I made a wrong decision? I always start there. It's always a good place. Lord, if I have, I'm sorry. But if I haven't, Lord, navigate me, teach me. I want to be a student, not a mourner and a groaner. But ultimately, the will of God. Now remember, this isn't just something willy-nilly. It is the foundation, the heart, the fruit of knowing him, of salvation. It is the really bottom line, isn't it? Let's read these verses which always, always make me shudder. Matthew 7.
Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
He didn't do the will of God. That is the defining decision when we stand before him. Did I walk in the will of God, what he wanted? And it's very clear, fruitfulness, faithfulness. And of course, what it again reveals what we are it's interesting it uses the word practice, good word, because that means where our heart is, what we are producing, what we are working at, what's our, the words could be mean employment, but it's a continuous lawlessness. It means not knowing the law, without law, doing our own thing, going our own way, not acknowledging God's law, which means, look, God knows best. And if we think we know better than God, we're in real trouble. And he's very clear then, if we're not walking with him, in him, because of what he says, we're in trouble. And this is Jesus talking, isn't it? Right at the beginning of his ministry on the Mount. He's talking about knowing God, and when we know him, we just want to please him. We want to go his way. Tough decisions? Yes, of course it is. We've all had tough decisions to make. God, I want to do this. I want to go that way. I want this. Yeah. And sometimes we've not listened to him, and we've done it, and we've gone on. We've got that. And then we look back and thought, yeah, that was a bit silly. Or if it may be in a purchase that we didn't really need, but we wanted it anyway. And we've looked back and thought, well, it's a bit empty, that, actually, now, isn't it? And so God's will, God's purpose, it's the foundation of conversion, salvation, the heart of it, because it reveals a changed heart, a delight in the will of God. What about these verses? Matthew 12.
While Jesus is still talking to the crowd, his mother and his brothers were outside, wanted to speak to him. Someone told him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. He replied to him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and my mother.
Okay. To be family is to know and to do what Father wants, of course, because it just shows that we are part of that family, isn't it? I went to see a chap, he was the boss many years ago, not very well, I went to see him, and there was his granddaughter there, and she looked exactly like his daughter, because there was a likeness. Well, of course there was a likeness, because the DNA, and so when we are like him, because we are, the Bible says he's seed, we understand that is in us. So we are part of the family because the will of God is what we want to do. And we want to be in the will of God, what he wants. What do you think? We talked about the other Sunday morning, inquiring of the Lord. When they didn't inquire of the Lord, good many reasons, because they didn't want to know what God said, because they thought they knew better than God. Sometimes God didn't answer because they didn't want to, God already told them and they wouldn't listen. But to receive what God has said, inquire of the Lord. What do you think, Lord? The psalmist again, giving us some good instruction. Psalm 143.
Answer me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. For in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. In you I take shelter. Teach me to do your will. For you are my God, your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness.
Again, the psalmist saying, Lord, this is what I need to know the way. Teach me. Teach me your will, O God. So there's a process, isn't there? We want to, but there's a teacher. And we talked about obedience today. Jesus learned obedience, because obedience is only proved by doing the right thing, isn't it? Because I can say, I'm obedient. Well, let's test that. Am I going to listen to what I'm going to be told? So the psalmist says, teach me. I like the word there, because, again, the Lord uses many different teaching methods, isn't he? Because he's a good father, he's a good teacher. But this particular word is goad. It was a long stick with a point on the end of it. So if they got out, it'd just be a prod in the bahuki, and just to bring them back into shape. As we said before, the Lord's discipline, sometimes he's just got to just whisper in our ears, isn't he? Dave, come back this way. Sometimes he's just got to just grab us and just point us and, you know, a bit of pat on the back. But sometimes Hebrews says he uses a 4x2. He does discipline us, and he is a good disciplinarian. He will use the rod. And so here's the goad. Lord God, if you've got to do that to me, if you've got to prod me hard enough for me to get you my attention, please do. But teach me to do your will. I want to stay right in the center of the will of God. Because the Bible says you've got to do that. You've got to be that in every sphere of society. Use Ephesians 6.
Bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleases, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. The good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you, masters, do the same thing to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him.
Again, this is, I suppose, in their eyes, was the main thing they did. 'Tis for us, isn't it? For us who are working anyway. For you who are not working, this is not your main thing. Our main time behavior is in work. And he says, look, this is how you to do the will of God. Because he's trying to cover every sphere of our lives. In work, he said, do work, even if they're the bad, worst employers, you do your best. You do it as unto me, not to them, unto me. That's tough sometimes, because maybe I'm being treated fairly, maybe they don't like us, some people, and if the boss is a bit nasty to us, and that's difficult. But the Bible is very clear. He said, look, you're doing the will of God, you know, because it's all about the words, lovely word, integrity, where when they try to find something in you, Daniel, they said, we'll find something about Daniel, we'll find something about Daniel. The Bible said they couldn't find nothing. They'd find nothing in his background, nothing in his dealings, nothing in his business dealing, nothing. Only thing they could find that he was a man of God who prayed. And what a great testimony, isn't it? So the Bible says the will of God, do it with all your heart. Do it with, the word is not particularly heart, it's soul, which is who you are, isn't it? Your emotions, your will, your thinking, your ability to contemplate. Do that, your behavior in your work. Do the will of God. Behave right, do it as unto me. Thankfully, again, he's telling us, he's showing us, but he's also equipping us. Isn't that wonderful? He doesn't leave us and say, right, do this, and he could. Get on with it. But he says, look, I'll help you here now. I will come alongside you. Holy Spirit is to do that, but also here. Hebrews 13.
Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
May he equip you, perfect you, repair you, mend you, absolutely, mend, repair, restore, complete you for every good thing, to do is well pleasing to him. You see, that's the bottom line. We are to please Father. just to stand before, again, it's good just to contemplate that moment where we're standing before him, standing before him, and all the things we thought were important were not important, things we probably didn't think important, we wish we'd given them priority. But that those words, well done, good and faithful servant, you please me, you please me. Disappointing many, many times, but oh, the heart to please the Father, isn't it? The epitaph of David, a man after God's own heart. What a great epitaph. Abram, friend with God, a friend of God. Great. And so here he is doing that and looking to do that. And he will equip us. He may have to repair things in our lives. Of course he does. But to complete us so we are pleasing him to do the will of God for who? His glory. Amen. Left to ourselves, of course, we would be nowhere. Paul, going through the church, we just read one prayer of Paul's in Ephesians 1 for the church. Here's another prayer from the Colossians. Colossians chapter 1.
For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into his kingdom of his Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
Yeah. He's praying, isn't he? Pray, fill them with the knowledge of your will, and then the outworking. Of course, the outworking of that is living a life worthy, pleasing him, bearing fruit, doing the work that he wants us, knowing God more, being stronger, being more steadfast, pressing in, more perseverance, more joy, more thankfulness, because God's interested. God wants to be right in the center, guiding us, leading us, directing us. Bless the Lord. Romans 12, 1 to 2.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Again, act one, surrender. Surrender because that pleases God. It's reasonable because he's just died for us. He died to set us free. What else we do? Here's my life. Lord, you died for me. Yeah, I'm yours. There's surrender, but then there's a process, isn't it? There's a continual process of transformation. Not allowing the world to squeeze us, because what does the world, what does the Bible say? Very clearly about the world, isn't it? Do not love the world. Materialism, hedonism, egotism. Don't do that. Don't love. Because that the world and the desires pass away. They are temporal. But if you do the will of God, that's going to last. That counts. That lives. And they live forever. And so here is Paul saying, look, he's just explained salvation, how we need it. God has attained it. Now, what's your response? Surrender. But because we're saved, there's work to be done, isn't it? Some of us got a lifetime. If you're saved when you're younger, it was wonderful because you got less of all the baggage you got to carry and work through and transform. But he says, be transformed by the renewing. Of course, we know that word metamorphosis, don't we? Caterpillar to a butterfly. And he's been transformed so you can know the will of God. What is the will of God? Good, pleasing, perfect. Ah, why would I not want to do the will of God? Why would I not want to walk with him? Not easy, of course, no, it's not easy, but it's the best. Heaven will testify that, the will of God. Let's just check a more few will of God's out. 1 Thessalonians 4, we read it last week. Sanctification, our sanctification is the will of God. More like him. And of course, in that context there, it's talking about sexual purity and impurity and things that are crushing in. Isn't it amazing that Again, some of us live a sheltered life, I'm sure, and perhaps it's a good thing you don't mention what they do in the places of darkness, but the filth that is there, and you can access our kids. You know, when we were kids, you'd have to go to buy a magazine, or, you know, page three was, wouldn't it? As much as you were exposed to. Now, let me tell you, you can go on your phone, and the degradation you can find on that would awful. So it's an attack, and he knew that. He said, now watch yourself, keep yourself. It will pollute you. It will distort everything that God wants in our lives. He said, be sanctified. Live wise lives. He said, making the most of opportunity. This is the will of God. Making the most of every opportunity, redeeming the time. Don't waste this, which is the most precious thing we have. When we're young, we think we've got all the time in the world. And I was just thinking, I just woke up, I think, dear Lord, time is going quick. And when I went to see the old boss, he's 82 now, I'm thinking, dear me, how quick that's gone. I haven't seen him for many years, but, he's an old man, just ready to go into eternity, not right with the Lord. Left him a Bible there to get hold of. That redeeming the time, filled with the Spirit, speaking, singing, submitting to him and for him, the will of God is to walk in wisdom. What about this? I love this, 1 Thessalonians 5. Just throws a few out, doesn't he? Paul, be joyful always. Oh, well, in fact, you can go back further, 1 Thessalonians 5. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong. Forgiveness, one to another. And that can be tough sometimes. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will. I want to know what God's will. Here we go. Sanctification, joyful always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. That'd be enough to test us straight away, wouldn't it? And I love, God is Holy Spirit just always brings these verses up when you don't want them, isn't it? When things are going wrong, this verse comes up. And it's happened to me a number of times. And you're spitting feathers because something is not right. Mm-hmm. And then this verse drops in. Give thanks in all circumstances, Dave. That's not what I want to hear. That's not the verse I wanted to hear. The verse I want to hear is, smash this thing because it's not working. And of course, then he goes on, do not put out the Spirit's fire, do not quench the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? No fan into flame. And quenching the Holy Spirit, of course, the next bit comes there. Do not treat prophecies. Listen to what God has got to say. Test it. Oh, I'm not sure about that. Test it. Listen to what God has got to say. That's the will of God, And out of when we understand with the will of God, we can see and know truth. That's very important in these last days. John 7.
Not until halfway through the feast did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. The Jews were amazed and asked, how did this man get such learning without having studied? Jesus answered, my teaching is not my own, it comes from him who sent me. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak of my own. He who speaks on his own does so to gain honour for himself. But he who works for the honour of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him.
See, if you, it says decide or choose, if it's the words will. If you will to do the will of the Lord, determine, delight to do the will of God. Lord, this is where my heart is. And again, the tense is continuous. It's not just that, Lord, I'm surrender, I'm yours. No. Day by day. Lord, I start the day. Lord, I want to walk with you. I want to be in your will. I want to choose to do what you ask me to do. Out of that. And of course, then what happens is we can see truth. It's wonderful. When we're in the will of God, we know what is true and what is false. Hebrews talks about those people who've grown up. They're on solid footing because they've learned to discern what's good and evil. Sometimes we don't. I'm amazed at sometimes what I do and what I hear Christians do. I'm thinking, what are they doing that for? What are they going there for? What are they, you know, exposing themselves to that for? Knowing full well that if we are walking in the will of God, some things that you think, well, that's not too bad, the Lord will say, yeah, might be not too bad, but it's not the best. And it's not profitable. It's not going to feed you. That's the thing. Is he going to feed my spirit? Am I going to get? Is it going to help me grow and know you, Lord, better? And that's so. If we're choosing, if we go in the will of the Lord, truth, revelation comes. Let's read these last verses, which again, bring us back to down to ground level when we think blessing, when we understand blessing wrongly, of course. Blessing can be difficulty because God's doing a work in us. 1 Peter 4:12-19.
Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fire or ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good.
There we are. Amazing, really. He's changing everything again in the Western world, maybe not in some of the persecuted places where trials and difficulties are the order of their day, isn't it? But no, he's telling us, look, when you fail, rejoice. Glory be. Lord, I don't want this. It's hard news. Bad. Rejoice. Why? Because this is God working out his purposes. Some of the things that God has got to change in us or show to those around us how good he is, it's difficult. You know, we've got some sharp edges, some of us, haven't we? Not looking at anybody. And it takes a lot of sandpapering, a lot of chiseling, a lot of work to be done in our lives. God's into that, isn't he? What we said before, he's more interested in that ultimate holiness than our current happiness. Because he's dealing in joy, not happiness anyway. But this is what he says. Look, those who suffer according to God's will, and some of us will, and that, of course, when we talk about suffering, when we talked last week, it didn't just, when we think about suffering, we talk about the passion of the Lord, the burden of the Lord, isn't it? When we see as he does, that's a suffering. He was burdened with the things around him, but people didn't love, and he wept over Jerusalem because they reject him. That's the suffering sometimes that he's talking about. We should commit ourselves to who? Our Creator, who's faithful, and continue, persevere to do that which is good. So tonight, the will of God, bless the Lord. Thankfully, he is our example. He went to the cross. Not my will, but ours. So today, tonight, Lord, I want to do your will. Wherever, however, the general will that he's revealed to us in his word, we know. There are then decisions we've got to make. And sometimes, you know, some big decisions I've made, I've known straight away what to do, but I wrestle with some of them. Because, you know, because sometimes they're big decisions, aren't they? Sometimes, depending on what they are, whether if it's career or wives or marriages or that kind of thing. And so that can be difficult, and you've got to wrestle. But thankfully, the Holy Spirit directs us and leads us in those things.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. To find out more about our church, including our service times, visit www.oakdalechristiancentre.org.